ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय विष्णु सहस्रनाम name 538 Tripada. So easy, it's easy to understand the meaning of this. Tri means three. Pada means foot or step. So that's one meaning. There are several meanings given by the commentators. Parashara Bhatta gives the meaning that he is the propounder of three tattvas or categories, which he gives as pradhan, non-sentient matter, purusha, the individual soul, and paramatma. This is Sankhya philosophy or Sankhya examination brought to the most concise level. Non-sentient matter that is often characterized or examined as having the five gross and three subtle elements, the working senses, the knowledge acquiring senses, the objects of the senses, to give 23 categories. And then 24, the individual soul. And in theistic Sankhya, Paramatma, the Supreme Lord. But just to make it in three basic categories, non-sentient matter, the soul, yayedam dharyate jagata parayamitas tvanyam prakritin vidhime param jiva bhutang mahabaho yayedam dharyate jagata. The soul which makes all this insentient matter, which moves the world, jagat, Gacchatiti jagat, that which moves, which keeps on moving, that is called jagat. So why is it moving? It's due to the desires of the conditioned souls. And these ultimate mover, maya dhakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetunanena kanteya jagat viparivartate. The ultimate mover, overseeing everything, from above is the Supreme Lord, and from inside also. So these are the three tattvas of existence in this material world. They're also, the same tattvas are also referred to in another way, from another perspective, as bhokta, the individual self, bhogya, the objects of enjoyment, or that which he takes to be enjoyable, the matter, and niyanta, the ruler of all. Parashara Bhatta gives a reference to the Vishnu Dharma. All the names in this verse, or at least up to this point, he's giving as names of Kapila Dev. So there's actually a verse in the Vishnu Dharma Satvanam Upakaraya Pradhanam Purusham Param Darshayishyami Lokeshu Kapilam Rupamastitaha. For the benefit of all beings in the world, having assumed the form of Kapila, I am going to, or I do, reveal the three realities, namely Pradhana, Purusha, and Paramatma. Then another meaning, Tripada, which links up with the next name, Tridashadhaksha, is that the three tattvas refer to the three states in which Bhagavan manifests himself. So that becomes three dasha, three states, or three, here, tripada. As one who protects the world, one who protects the devatas, the demigods who protect the world, and as Vaikunthanath, who's above and beyond and disassociated from this world. Parashurapata gives two other explanations. And this, many of the explanations here, they are exactly the same as that of the next name, Tridashadhyaksha. So the Tripada. Pada can also mean words or syllables, particularly here the three syllables, a, o, ma, which combine to form pranav, om, the sacred syllable om, which is non-different from Bhagavan. Then, Varaha, remember that Baladev Vidyabhushan. No, he hasn't started there. He also, yeah, Baladev also gives this meaning as Om. Another meaning in his Varaha form, Bhagavan assumed a form with three humps on his back. Now all these meanings that are given by the commentators, they all quote various shastras to support it. So amazing task of studying all the shastras and coming up with all these different understandings of Vishnu Sahasranama. Such scholarship we can hardly imagine in the modern age. Shankaracharya gives the name which is probably the name which, if we hear three steps, probably the name that would come to mind most quickly is that of, or seems most obvious, that is of Trivikram or Vamanadev, who from the Taittiriya Brahmana, Trini Pada Vichakrame is the meaning of Trivikram. He who triumphed over the three worlds by his three strides. Now another Vaishnava commentator gives another meaning or another understanding of the Trivikram, the one who took three steps. Three steps means that with his first step, Vamanadev covered the lower half of the universe. With his second step, he covered the upper half. With his third step, he covered Bali Maharaj's head. Radha Krishna Shastri, commentator here, he gives the understanding that Vamana was taking from Bali. Bali had offered three steps of land, measured by your own feet. So he was taking something away. With each step, he was taking away from Bali. So with his first step, Radha Krishna Shastri says, he took away all the manifest possessions of Bali Maharaj. Everything in his possession. With his second step, he took away all that he was to attain in future. Because you might take something away from someone, but then according to their sanchita karmas, their stockpile of karmas, it means in future they have to get something also. So whatever he was to get in future, his ruling over Swarga, he took that away also. And with his third step, he took away his ahamka and mamaka, I, me, the consciousness of I, me and mine. And having finished him off completely, he sent him to Vaikuntha. That's the explanation of Radha Krishna Shastri. Radha Krishna Shastri also gives the understanding that Bhagawan is situated in the three stages. He is as if he has his feet in the past, present and future. Time, this is one for Rick, time is inexplicable. The past doesn't exist. The future doesn't exist. And what is the present? It's something like trying to draw a point. As soon as you locate a point, it's got dimensions. So you can't really say a point exists at all either. So similarly with time, you can't pinpoint the present, because as soon as you conceive of the present, it's already gone. Therefore, there's no such thing as time, and therefore nothing exists. Sounds like Buddhism, but that's typical Buddhist philosophy, that there is no such thing as time. There's just an appearance of time. But we recognize that there is past and present and there will be the future. But we what's the thread that holds it all together? Bhagavan. He is the seer in all three phases of time. He's beyond time. He's not limited by time. It is one of the manifestations of the Supreme Lord. So that's a very big philosophical topic. If you want to spend all your life trying to understand what time is, you could do. Otherwise, just spend your time chanting Hare Krishna. Don't worry too much about it. Because whether we conceive that it exists or not, there is the past and the present and the future. And what we do now affects our future. So better chant Hare Krishna. Then we'll be happy in the present and happy in the future. And if we don't, then we may come back lifetime after lifetime as Dr. Frog, getting a PhD in every lifetime on what is the nature of time and never understanding anything about it. So we can understand the Supreme Lord has his feet in all three phases of time. He's situated in all three phases of time and beyond time also. Many of these names in Vishnu Sahasranama are in relation with Bhagavan. As we from this material situation can begin to understand him, but ultimately he's beyond this material manifestation. Although he very kindly manifests himself within this world to make himself available to those who are not demons, those who are not asura pravritti. Yamunacharya, he says that. Tvam Shila Rupa Charita, I just read that the other day. Tvam Shila Rupa Charitai Paramapakrishta Satvena Saprikatiya Prabhalaischa Shastra Daiva. Oh, I forgot it. I always forget it. Naiva Sura Prabhataya Prabhavanti Bodham. That's the fourth line. The demons, yeah, they can't understand him. What's that verse? How does that begin? Prakyata daiva paramata vidang mataischa naivasura prakataya prabhavanti bodham. Yeah, the demons, they can't perceive him, but the devotees, they can understand him. And this studying Gita, Bhagavata, Vishnu Sahasranama, by studying this and considering, we can more and more understand and perceive the presence of Vishnu within this world and beyond this world. Now the next name is Tridasha Adhyaksha. Tridasha. That means three times, three tens, which means 30. It also, an adhyaksha literally means the overseer or the supervisor. These words, overseer and supervisor, they mean the same thing. They mean one who sees from above. Super means above, and visor, vision, vista, they all mean the overseer. So in Sanskrit also, aksha refers to eyes, and adhi means above, so one who sees from above, supervisor. It has the same etymological construction. So tridasha is similar. Dasha, it means three times. Dasha means 10, and dasha means situation. So tridasha means 30, so the overseer of 30. The demigods are sometimes called tridasha, because they're, now we've many times heard that there are 33 crores of demigods, 330 million demigods. But apparently there's no such statement in Shastra like this. The 30 is recognized by all Shastric scholars, indigenous Shastric scholars, as referring to the 33 demigods, not the 330, not 33 crores. Some idea is there that it was a Western misinterpreters of Shastra who somehow came up with 33 crores, 330 million. It's actually 33 major demigods, which are listed in various ways. Well, they're basically listed as the 12 Adityas, the sons of Aditi, the 11 Rudras, and 8 Vasus, that comes to 31, plus 2 more, which are given in various ways. The 2 extra are given as Prajapati, is one. Oh, They don't have it written here. Prajapati and one more. Where is that? Ah. There are two others, but I don't have them written down here. One is Prajapati, which means Brahma, or it can mean Vishnu also. So the 12 Adityas, the names vary. It can be according to different universes, different days of Brahma, and so on. Or even different phases within the days of Brahma. So, Mitra, Aryaman, Bhaga, Varuna, Daksha, Angsha, Tvashti, Pushan, Vivasvat, Savita, Indra, who's often in the Vedas referred to as Chakra, and Vishnu. Vishnu meaning Vamana. The 11 Rudras are listed in Srimad Bhagavatam. 11 principal Rudras, because there are many, many. They are Raivat, Aja, Bhava, Bhima, Vama, Ugra, Vishakapi, Ajaikapat, Ahirbradna, Bahurupa, and Mahan. Elsewhere the names are given differently, but the number always remains the same. 11 Rudras, and then 8 Vasus, plus 2 other deities. Yes, so sometimes the 2 others are given as the Ashwini Kumars. The 8 Vasus, they are the attendant deities of Indra, deities of the material elements, namely earth, fire, space, water, wind, sky, sun, the stars, and the moon. So anyway, there are various demigods who in various ways oversee the material world. They oversee the material world, and he, Vishnu, oversees them. So next time anyone says to you about 330 million gods, I think that idea is better known among Western scholars. They talk about it more. They have this idea, 330 million gods. So definitely he is he's overseeing them, coordinating them, protecting them. Particularly, this name is again linked with Varahadev, how when Brahma, the head of the gods, could not proceed any further with creation because the earth had fallen out of place, then Varaha, the Lord, took the form of Varaha and lifted the earth out of the water. Tridasha, 3 states. They are waking, dreaming, and deep sleep. Jagrata, Swapna, Sushupti. And Bhagavan is situated in the 4th state, Turiya, Avastha. Avastha is a synonym for Dasha. So he is above all those 3 states, and he oversees that. And you may say, well, wait a minute, you see, we're here in Sri Rangam, and Ranganatha Swami, he's sleeping. So it appears that he's also underneath the influence of time and sleep. But his sleeping is not the same as our sleeping. His dream is this material world. It's the dream of Mahavishnu. His dream is also some reality. So if we say the 3 states, that waking, sleeping, deep sleep, then past, present, future, the Lord of the 3 states, Sattva Gun, Rajagun, Tamagun, he's the master of all of them, the master of the three gunas. He pervades the three Vedas. He pervades the three worlds. He transcends the three worlds. He transcends the three states of time, the three states of existence. So, in all ways, he is the supreme personality of Godhead, which is the point of all these names. Baladev Vidyabhushan gives the meaning of this name, that he is the friend of the demigods, and he rescues them in times of calamity. So that's name 539, going on to name 540. Mahashringa. Shringa means a big, means a horn. Yeah, a horn is just like certain animals have horns. Cows have horns. Buses have horns. That's a different kind of horn. That's called, why is that called a horn? Because it looks, the shape, originally the shape is like, yeah, the shape is like a horn, so similar thing. So, this name refers to Varahadev, has big tusks, and also to Matsya Avatar. Another meaning which is not given by the commentators here, but which we can deduce from Srimad Bhagavatam. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 16, Text 31, there's a very interesting verse which could be studied in great depth, in which he is called Chatushringa, which means he who has four horns, which means the four Vedas. So Varahadev means, this is the meaning that Baladev Vidyabhushan gives. It's said that he lifted the earth from the waters with the tip of his tusk. That gives the idea that he just caught it on pricked it and picked it up. And the earth, according to Vishnu Purana, the earth appeared like the leaf of a lotus besmeared with mud on the tusk of an elephant that has entered a lotus pond. Then another commentator, V.V. Ramanujan, said that this horn of Varaha, Maha, means very big. So Varaha Devi is very big. He's lifting up the earth on his horn or his tusk. So how big he must be, it's unimaginable, absolutely unimaginable to us, how there could be a creature so very big that he can pick up the earth on his tusk. The commentator V.V. Ramanuja says that his horn or his tusk was so big that the earth looked like a little particle of food that had become stuck on someone's tooth. In other words, you could hardly see it, just like nowadays the people look through their telescopes and they see some huge planet and it looks a long way away and it looks very small to our vision. So in the same way, this earth could hardly be seen. It was so small in relation to the tusk of Varahadev. Then Shankaracharya gives the name in relation to the Matsya Avatar, the original Noah's Ark story, where Satyavrata Muni had his boat tied up to the horn of the great fish, huge fish, as the universe was devastated with floods. So the Matsya Avatar had instructed Satyavrata to make his boat, and that was tied up to the horn of the great fish, who then spoke the knowledge of the Vedas within the waters of devastation. So that's Mahashringa, the great, great horn. Yeah, Baladev gives the Varaha understanding. Name 541, according to the way of breaking the names given by Parashara Bhatta, or in another edition, it's only named 537. Kritantakrit. Kritam means activity. Anta means the end. So, one who brings an end to everything, death personified. So one who brings an end to the one who brings an end to everything is Kritantakrit, who is feared by death himself, who kill death himself, death personified. Yamaraj oversees death. He also has to die sometime. But Vishnu never dies. Now, these, of course, this isn't the only understanding. Various meanings are given here. Kritantakrit, he who brings an end, all activities within this material manifestation, they have a beginning and an end. But one who brings an end to all beginnings and ends, in other words, who destroys the whole stage, the world is but a stage, the one who destroys the whole field of activities for the conditioned souls and puts them all to sleep for a long time within his body. One who just, the material cosmos just brings it to an end. And of course later brings it back again. He is Kritantakrit. It's who just finishes off everything. He's the creator and the destroyer. One meaning is given here. I don't find an explanation of it. It's just stated like that. That he is the slayer of Hiranyaksha. Another meaning given for Kritanta is the same as Siddhanta. the ultimate, which means the ultimate understanding of all activity. The Purva Mimamsa, or the deliberation on the message of the Vedas, the one which comes first, begins with the declaration, Atato Dharma Jignyasa. Now let us inquire into the nature of Dharma. Uttar Mimamsa, the final understanding, Siddhanta, when all activities, when one has performed all activities of Dharma, going beyond piety and sinfulness, when one has seen that both piety and sinfulness simply lead to suffering, then atato brahma jignyasa, then one has to come to the Siddhanta. When it is understood that all activities simply end in suffering, then we should consider what is the Siddhanta, what is the complete and perfect understanding of reality. Then we come to Uttar Mimamsa, otherwise known as Vedanta. So Kritanta can refer to Yamaraj, or it can refer to the destruction of the universe.
Here it is. Parashara Bhatta gives the understanding, the slayer of Hiranyaksha, because Hiranyaksha was just like death personified, wandering around the universe, because Sri Parashara Bhatta, this whole series of names he's giving in relationship to Varaha Dev. So he's given this meaning, Kritantakrit, because Hiranyaksha was like death personified. So that refers to Varaha Dev. Parashara Bhatta, he gives all names, often he gives names in a series in relationship with one particular avatar of the Lord, and he may give other meanings also. This meaning he gives. What is the Siddhanta? According to him, the Siddhanta is that, or the highest and complete understanding of all the Vedas, that the Supreme Lord preaches or teaches, is that of Sharanagati. He gives shelter to those who seek shelter in him. This is the in the Ramanuja Sampradaya, this point is always emphasized, that those who seek shelter in him, he gives shelter to them. Mashuchaha, do not fear, is the ultimate benediction of the Supreme Lord, Varadaraja. Here, we're in Sri Rangam. If we go north to Kanchi, then there is the best, the king of he who gives all benedictions. The best benediction he awards is fearlessness. He awards fearlessness. Abhayam Saravada Tasmai. He awards fearlessness to those who take shelter in him. He protects them. Again, relating to Siddhanta with Varaha Avatar, he is Varaha Avatar is described as the very form of all knowledge. Yajna Varaha, performance of yajna, performance of yajna is the is the focus or the ultimate point of all pious activities performed in Vedic civilization. And the idea is that by performing yajñas, that will give rise to transcendental knowledge. Sarva karma kilam partha jnanam. What is that word? Paryavatishtat. All performance of karma that ultimately leads to jnana. And here the commentator Ramanuja Acharya, as he's known, he gives this understanding that Varahadev is Kritantakrit because he is the very form of knowledge. Then Krita means that which is made by the Lord, the universe. It's the field of all activity, and it is His activity. So He brings it into creation, that's Krita, and He destroys it, that's Anta. So He is the doer or the maker of both creation and destruction. Baladev Vidyabhushan also gives the understanding that this is the name of the Varaha who killed Hiranyaksha. But he gives that from a different perspective to that of Parashurabhata. Parashurabhata says that the killer of Hiranyaksha, because Hiranyaksha was as fearful as death personified, but Baladev Vidyabhushan says that Hiranyaksha was as formidable as eternal time. Time is Kritantakrit, that which brings everything into being and which destroys everything. So, because the beginning and end of everything, it's all accommodated within time. So in this way, the commentators, with their inspired scholarship, they can find out so many meanings of all these names, and they all are jnanam parisamapyate, all culminates in jnana. So in this way they find various meanings and understandings of the names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's verse 57 completed, and in this reckoning 541 names have been gone through. Hare Krishna. There's another 1 hour. If we're to go through with all of this, let me see if I have any other papers. I may not sing anymore. No, I didn't bring any more papers with my notes. I expected that this talk would go on longer. Okay, well, if there are any questions, I'm open for that. Please. Ashochanan Vashochastra. Connected with the morning light. Do you want to close this and start again? Just a second. Yeah, okay, go ahead.